And all of a sudden, the chief of police says, "You are under arrest for stealing from the king and the queen." And they take the chains and they put them on Rabbi Chanan Altshul and the handcuffs. And the police guards are taking him up the stairs out of the store. And they put him in the black wagon. And they lead him through the streets. And they're taking him to the palace. And of course, all the Jews see all of a sudden Reb Chanan Altshul, the great Talmud Chochem and Baal Tzedakah, and probably himself also a tzaddik, is being led away in chains, arrested by the chief of police and officers of the king. And now they take him to the palace, and over there is going to be Rudolf. And tomorrow we'll see what happens when Reb Chanan Altshul goes to the palace to Rudolf. Reb Chanan Altshul is now on the way to the palace in the black wagon. He has been arrested for stealing the curtains of King Ferdinand II and his wife, the Queen. And he is now being brought to Officer Rudolf, who is waiting in the palace and who has been notified that someone has been arrested with the curtains. And now Rudolf, inside he's happy because now nobody's going to blame him. But he's very angry, who in the world would take the curtains? And then he found out it's a Jew and he says, maybe we can make some trouble here for the Jews. Because Rudolf did not like Jews. He was no friend of the Jews. So all of these things are going on at one time. And now the black wagon comes in front of the palace. And they take now Reb Chanan Altshul out from the black wagon into the palace. And he's standing before Rudolf, the officer of King Ferdinand II. And he says, King Rudolf says, "You have the curtains in your store of the king and the queen, their favorite curtains, their favorite beautiful thing in the palace? Who in the world gave you those curtains? How did you get the curtains? How in the world did the curtains end up in your store?" And Reb Chanan Altshul says, as a Jew I'm not allowed to promise, but I assured the one who gave me the curtains that I will not talk, because he's a very big officer of the king, and he said that because it's a very important thing to have, for me to have the curtains, it's top secret, I'm not allowed to talk unless I have his permission. What? You have said to an officer of the king that you're not allowed to talk? There's no officer of the king that gave you those curtains with some kind of a promise that you shouldn't talk. This is a made-up story. Now you talk right now. Don't invent stories now and you think that's going to save you? Now talk. And Reb Chanan Altshul says, "No, I cannot talk without permission from that officer." And Rudolf says, "Bring the officers of the whipping room." Do you know what the whipping room is? Not exactly where they make whipped cream for the king and the queen to have dessert. The whipping room was a punishing room. And of course, as you're eating lunch, we're not going to go into detail about what happened in the whipping room. But over there is whips. And the men in the black uniforms, not exactly the executioners, it wasn't time for that, but the whippers, they came with their big strong hands and they took Reb Chanan Altshul, an elderly Talmud Chochem Yid, to the room of the whipping. And of course, over there, it was not pleasant what happened. And Officer Rudolf says, "The whipping will make you talk." And after the whipping, Reb Chanan Altshul could no longer walk to the room of Rudolf. He had to be carried in on a stretcher. And Rudolph starts screaming, "Now you tell me, how did you get the golden curtains in your store?" And Rudolph, with all of his strength, said, "I cannot talk without permission from the special officer of the king." And Rudolph says, "Again the story. Now into the dungeon with you, and tomorrow we're going to make a trial." And they took Reb Chaim Galtschel into the dungeon under the palace, and he was in terrible pain. That night, Kindalach, as Rudolph was getting ready, the judge at the courtroom for the big trial, and of course the news went out that a very serious trial was going to take place, and thousands of people were getting ready to go to the trial. Reb Chaim Galtschel is in the dungeon, and he's in so much pain, and it hurts, and it's so terrible. And all of a sudden, a very beautiful light came into the cell. If he was asleep or awake, we don't know, and it doesn't matter. But all of a sudden, Reb Chaim Galtschel felt as if his pain went away, and he felt as if a beautiful, special thing was going to happen with this special light. And either it was in a dream or not in a dream, he saw his Rebbe, who he used to learn Torah with, the Maharal of Prague, who had already passed away, all of a sudden came into the dungeon. And standing next to him was Yossel the Goylem. And they came to visit Reb Chaim Galtschel in his jail cell in the dungeon. And the Maharal had a beautiful smile on his face. And he said, "Reb Chaim Galtschel, don't worry. Tomorrow at the trial, everything will be okay." And Reb Chaim Galtschel felt a new strength in his body and a new koyach, and he felt assured and trusting Hashem that he did not have to be afraid. And the light went away, and the Maharal went away, and Yossel the Goylem went away, and Reb Chaim Galtschel fell into a peaceful sleep. And even though he had those boo-boos and that pain, he had the strength to deal with it. And the next morning, Kindalach, they came to bring Reb Chaim Galtschel to the big trial. And he goes out of the jail cell. Either he was carried out in the stretcher, or by now he was able to walk. And now Reb Chaim Galtschel goes into the gigantic courtroom filled with people. And as soon as the people saw Reb Chaim Galtschel come into the courtroom, the people that were against him said, "Oh, there's the Jew that stole the curtains of the king and the queen." And boys, the judge, as soon as there was this big tumult, he took his black mallet, it's like a wooden hammer, and he smashes it on the table that the courtroom should be quiet. And now Rudolph comes in front of the judge, in front of Reb Chaim Galtschel, and he says, before the trial starts, Reb Chaim Galtschel should come to the big window overlooking the street, and he should see what's prepared. And that way, he will be sure to talk. And they bring Chaim Galtschel to the big window of the courtroom overlooking the street, and he sees the gigantic army of the king, and they're on their horses, dressed up in their uniforms, with their swords and spears and rifles and guns. And it's like they're ready to go to a war. And Rudolph says, "You know why all those soldiers are outside of the courtroom and they look like they're ready to go to a war? Well, this is why. They are on the road ready to go to the Jewish neighborhood. If you talk and you tell, then only you will be punished. If you do not talk and you do not tell, all of the Jews in the Jewish neighborhood, including your wife and your children and your family and all of your friends and their families are going to be attacked by the whole army of the king. And the general of the army is waiting for me to give the signal from the window. And now that you know what's going to happen, the trial should begin. And the judge banged his black mallet, which is a black kind of a hammer made out of wood, and the courtroom was quiet. And now the judge says to Reb Chanoi Galtzul, "You must now explain why you have the golden curtains, what they were doing in your store as they were found by the police and the army and all the officers." And the courtroom was quiet. And Reb Chanoi Galtzul said, "I cannot tell, I cannot speak, unless I'm given permission by one of the king's high officers. And he has not given me permission. It is top secret." And right away, Rudolph screams, "This is a lie! This is a story! It makes no sense!" And everybody starts talking in the courtroom, blah, 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 blah. And the king, and the judge takes the black mallet and he smashes it on his table. And of course, there's a big echo and it's quiet. That's the sign that everybody has to quiet down. And now, Rudolph goes in front of the judge and he says, "Judge, Reb Chanoi Galtzul was warned that if he does not speak and he continues with his ridiculous story, that I will go to the window in front of the courtroom and give the order to the general that he should take the entire king's army to destroy the family, the homes of Reb Chanoi Galtzul and all the Jews. And Reb Chanoi Galtzul has refused to speak. And of course, this is a rebellion at going against the king himself, taking his curtains and not saying anything about it. And therefore, I now will go to the window to give the sign to the general." And Rudolph is walking towards the window. And the courtroom starts to speak, blah, 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 blah. And the king and the judge. And the judge takes his black mallet, he smashes it on the table, and it's a big echo, and it's quiet. Just like now, there's a big echo, and it's quiet. Or should be quiet anyway. Maybe we should make this a courtroom. I should be a judge in the black robes and the shaitel, and everybody will be quiet. But I'm not going to put on the black robes, and especially not the shaitel. Unless it's Purim, and maybe I'll do that Purim, but maybe not now. And Rudolph is walking by toward... And Rudolph is walking towards the window. And he's lifting up his hand, ready to show it to the general. And the general is outside on his horse. And all the soldiers are looking towards the window to see when will they have the sign to go and Chas V'Shalom attack the Jewish neighborhood. And Rudolph is lifting up his hand when all of a sudden, in the quiet courtroom, is all of a sudden this noise. And all of a sudden, everybody turns around. And of course, the judge takes the black mallet and smashes it on the table. And everybody is quiet except for that one sound. And everybody turns around towards that sound. And Haradek is standing up. And he's pointing to the door of the courtroom. And everybody turns towards the door. And nobody sees anything. But Haradek is screaming. And the king. And the judge says, "Who is screaming and making that noise?" And Rudolph says, "This is Officer Haradek. He is the next biggest officer next to me." And the judge says, "Come here, Haradek. Why are you screaming in my courtroom and disturbing?" And he's pointing towards the door. What do you see over there? What are you afraid of? You saw a mouse or something? What is it? Don't you see? Speak. And all of a sudden Harari says, "No, stay away, stay away, don't come closer, I'll speak, I'll speak." And the judge says, "I just told you to speak, who are you talking to?" "I'll speak, of course, speak, I told you 3 times to speak." And Harari says, "I will tell the truth." And the judge says, "Of course you're going to tell the truth, you're standing in front of the judge. I'll tell the truth, you said that already, explain yourself." And now Harari says, and he's shaking. And the whole time, he's not looking at the judge, he's looking towards the door, and he's shaking, and nobody sees anything. And this is what Harari says. Chanoich also did not take the golden curtains. I took the golden curtains. And all of a sudden, the courtroom starts speaking, blah, 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 blah. And the judge takes the black hammer and he smashes it on the table. I'll let everybody do it just one time, but not on the plum and not on the potatoes. Smash, on the count of three, smash the black hammer. 1, 2, 3. Finished! Okay, that's it. Okay. Well, this is one of those interactive stories. It is 1997. We have become extremely sophisticated. So instead of just telling a story, we have the children interact with the story. But you have to interact according to the rules of interacting. And if I ask you to bang one time, you bang only once. And I did not say to scream. Now, let's try it one more time on the count of three. You will bang one time. Stop. Do not do anything. The rules of their interactive story are, you will bang the hammer once, that's all, and you will make absolutely no noise. Not a scream, nothing with your mouth. And at the end of the banging of the mallet on the table, not in the potatoes, not on the tomatoes, not on the ketchup or the fish, not on your milk, and not on the plum, it is going to be completely quiet in the courtroom. Of course, it's a lunchroom, but we're making it a courtroom. Eins, zwei, drei. I know, it's my fault. I mentioned Purim, so boys thought it's like getting rid of a Amalek with Haman, which actually it is, because Haradek was one of those Haman kind of characters. So they think they're getting rid of Haman, and they're, you know, doing like Purim and Shul. So it's my fault, I take the blame, and we'll continue with the story. Shh. Okay. Haradek says, "I took the golden curtains and I made up the story, not Reb Chanoich Altshul, I made up the whole story." And this is what happened. And Haradek starts crying. As you know, or maybe you don't know, Rudolf knows, I gamble and I drink and I have no luck. I'm a schlamazel. I don't have a mazel. Because when I drink and I gamble, I lose. And when I lose a lot of money. And I have to pay. And I have no money to pay. So, when I lose, I have to go borrow the money. And where do I go when I lose? I go to the Jews. And one time, I was drinking and gambling and drinking more and gambling more and drinking and drinking and gambling and gambling, and I lost 25,000 golden dollars. And I had to pay because the people I was playing with gambling, they said, if I don't pay, I'm finished. And I knew I had to pay them or I'd be finished. And I didn't want to be finished, so I had to pay. So I had to go borrow 25,000 golden dollars. Do you think it's easy to borrow 25,000 golden dollars? Or it's very difficult? What do you think?
Difficult.
It's difficult. Even 24,000 golden dollars is difficult, much less 25,000 golden dollars. And where did I used to go when I lose? I used to go to the Jews, especially Rabbi Chanoich Altshul. Was very nice to me to lend me money when I needed it. I didn't necessarily explain that I was gambling and drinking, because I used to go as a messenger for the King Ferdinand when he had to borrow money. Now, the king also had to borrow money. The king would not borrow money from drinking and gambling. At least we don't know about that. But the king has all kinds of important things that he has to do with money, like pay his army and pay his officers and buy his wife works of art and paintings and tapestries and shoes and dresses and fancy hats and pay for parties and go on trips and, you know, all the important things that kings do with their money. Lots of money, you know, buy jewelry and fancy crowns and, you know, whatever kings do with the money, who knows what. Maybe help the people a little bit, build a few bridges and things like that. Maybe, you know, give the poor people things they need and the sick. Well, whatever the king needs money for, he didn't necessarily have it. He also used to borrow. The king himself would not go borrow money. He's too important for that. He's got to sit on his throne and go on important trips. Well, he sends officers. And Haradek used to go sometimes to borrow money for the king. And he used to go to important people or rich people, of course, people that have money and banks. And many times he would go to Rabbi Chanoi Galshul. And sometimes while Rabbi Chanoi Galshul was there, he borrowed a little bit of money for himself too. After all, as long as you're there to get money for the king, hop around for yourself a little bit. Why not? And now, Kinalach, Rabbi Chanoi Galshul knows to borrow 25,000 golden dollars for himself. Rabbi Chanoi Galshul would not give so much money. So he had to invent a plan, a trick, a plot, a story, a Baba Maisa, in order that he should get 25,000 golden dollars for himself. And this is what Haradek did. He's telling on himself in the court in front of everyone, and everyone is listening. And every once in a while, he would again go, and point to the door. They're coming closer! They're coming closer! And he would back up, and he would come closer to the judge, and the judge says, stay right there! I don't see anybody coming closer. Go on with your story. Okay. And he said, I went into the king's room when the king wasn't there, and I stole a paper, a special paper that the king writes his own special letters on it. And I took a pen, and I wrote this down. And I said, I wrote down, I, the King Ferdinand II, send my messenger Haradek in order to borrow 25,000 golden dollars in the name of the king to be used for a special top secret thing by Officer Rudolph and Officer Haradek. And Officer Haradek is in charge of borrowing the money in the name of the king from Rabbi Chanoi Galshul. And this is to be kept top secret. It is so important. And in order to make sure that I get this loan immediately, I am sending a pledge. Now boys, a pledge means you give something that's worth a lot of money, that later on, when you pay back the money, you'll get it back. And the king says, of course, this is Haradek making up this whole story, I am sending my golden curtains that hang in the room of the royal thrones to be a pledge to be kept in a room of Rabbi Chanoi Galshul's store, that when I repay the loan, Rabbi Chanoi Galshul will give back the beautiful, expensive golden curtains. And in order to make sure that this is top secret, the only one that has permission, no one has permission to speak about this loan, only with the permission of Officer Rudolph. Only if he gives his permission can Rabbi Chanoi Galshul tell anyone about the loan, about the curtains, about anything that happened. Otherwise, he must keep his mouth absolutely sealed and closed. And if Rabbi Chanoch also will go against this secret, top secret, important emergency plan of the king, and if he will tell anybody without the permission of Rudolf the officer, he will be severely punished, and also his family. And now, Haradek signed in the name of the king, and in the name, of course, he put Officer Rudolf. And then he took the royal wax, and he dripped it on the letter, and he made a stamp. He took the king's stamp, and he put the stamp of the king into the wax, so it looked like the king himself had made an official letter from the king. And really, it was Haradek that made it. And Haradek says, I took the letter, and I went down into the basement, and I stole the curtains. I took the keys from the officer's room, and I went down to get the box of the royal curtains, and I stole them in the middle of the night. And when nobody was looking, I went to Reb Chanoch Altshul, and I gave him the letter, and I gave him the curtains. And he gave me the 25,000 golden dollars that he thought he was doing for the king, in the name of the king. And that's what I did. I did it. Reb Chanoch Altshul did not do anything. He was only honoring the king, and Officer Rudolf he was also honoring by not speaking. And of course, Rudolf, his eyes are popping out of his head and his mouth is open. He could not believe it, that Reb Chanoch Altshul the whole time was not speaking. Why? Out of honor for the king and Officer Rudolf, because Rudolf was not giving permission to speak, because Rudolf didn't know anything about the whole thing anyway. And of course, everybody is speaking now about what's going on and surprised, and the king and the judge takes the black hammer and knocks it down, and Haradek starts to scream, they're coming even closer! And he points to the door, and nobody sees anything. And now the judge says, you had a perfect plan. If you would have kept your mouth shut, nobody would have known anything. Haradek is explaining to the court, why did he tell on himself? He had a perfect story. If he would have kept his mouth shut, Rudolf would have thought that Reb Chanoch Altshul stole the curtains. Reb Chanoch Altshul was not talking. The soldiers would have destroyed the Jewish neighborhood, and Reb Chanoch Altshul would have been chas v'shalem killed. Nobody would have ever found out anything. Rudolf Haradek would have had his 25,000 golden dollars. Rudolf did not know a thing. It was a perfect story. So why, everybody is wondering, and the judge is asking, why did Haradek tell on himself? And now Haradek starts to scream, again looking at the door, and the judge says, who in the world do you see that nobody else sees? And why do you keep screaming, And Haradek says, I was going to keep my mouth shut. But last night, the night before the big trial, I had such a scary dream. Ooh. And I will tell you the dream. There was an old rabbi people used to speak about. His name was the Maharal. And in his time, anybody who tried to start up with Jews, he had a big problem on his hands, because nobody could start up with Jews. I heard people in my family talking about it. They tried to start up with Jews. Something always happened with them. They could never do it. Some of them ended up by the North Pole. Some of them ended up in the jail. Some of them ended up with big boo-boos. And they say it was due to that rabbi, the Maharal, but it wasn't him himself. They say there was some strange man who used to walk around the streets at night. The man couldn't talk, but boy was he strong. And boy was he sneaky or tricky or something. He always showed up whenever the troublemakers wanted to make trouble. He was there. Well, last night, in my dream, when I was sleeping, that rabbi came to me, and that man with a short black beard who couldn't talk, he also came to me. They came to me in the dream. And I was so afraid. And that rabbi stuck out his finger. He was pointing to me with his finger, and he says, "You haradek, tomorrow..."